Well, good evening and welcome to our prayer service. I just hope that you'll enjoy the quietness, that you will enjoy the worship, and that this will be a real opportunity just to quieten down before the Lord. How the service is going to work? Well, we're going to sing, we're going to worship, we're going to pray. And then there will be an opportunity at the end for some prayer ministry. And the service won't kind of finish, if you understand me. It will just run its course. So if you find towards the end of the service that you want to just go, that's great. If you want to stay and just enjoy that quietness and time of prayer, please do that. One thing, just to make it clear to you, the kettle is on in solid ground. So it may be an opportunity just to go in, mull over what you've heard, what you've experienced, and you'd be welcome back in again if you feel prompted to spend some time in prayer. So just by way of a little bit of explanation. So we'll just open in prayer now, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We praise and worship you, Almighty God, Creator of all, the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. And we come to you, Lord, with a real spirit of worship, fully acknowledging that we are sinful and that we are broken people. Help us to focus on you. Take away any distraction, Lord. Forgive us for constantly sinning against you. Forgive us for missed opportunities to speak to others about you, for doing things which have not honored you. Bless us now as we meet in your name. We pray this in Jesus' powerful and wonderful name. Amen. We're going to sing, and we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Okay.
We're going to have a short reading from Isaiah 49, and we're going to read verses 13 to 16. I'm sorry, I forgot to look it up in the church Bible, so... So page 736, so thank you for whoever did that. Thank you. This is the word of God. Shout for joy. O heavens, rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Here's a bizarre question for you. How are you on roller coasters? Personally, I really struggle. To be honest with you, I have really very little experience. I was on one, probably 35 years or so ago. Blackpool Pleasure Beach, okay? I was probably trying to impress somebody, don't you know? And I got onto this thing called the Revolution, okay? An absolutely horrendous contraption, okay? I'm sure it was beautifully engineered, but oh boy. This thing went, whoa, way up, and then crashing down. And well, the clue was in the name, Revolution. It did this high speed, like that, you know. And he got to the end of this ride, and a speaker in this lovely, cultured, gentle voice says, "You have just experienced the Revolution." And you're thinking to yourself, "I'm still alive, yes." And then the speaker went on to say, "You will now experience the Revolution backwards." Disaster. I only really know what that thing did when I stood and looked at it from a distance, because when I was actually bolted into this horrible thing, my eyes were shut. I'll be honest with you, I'm just a chicken with that sort of stuff. Our spiritual life, our walk with the Lord, can be just like a roller coaster, soaring up. At the peak, when we're bursting with joy, a full realization of what Jesus did for us, we understand our salvation. We're feeding on God's word. Our prayer life is vibrant. We've experienced the blessing of answered prayer. Our hearts are full of praise and worship. But then there are the descents, the low points, those times where we feel distant from God. We start to lack assurance. We're aware of Satan's attacks. Our prayer life becomes dry, or perhaps even non-existent. Our quiet time becomes a rushed thing. Or perhaps we're getting so busy, we say to ourselves, well, I'll get to that later on. Doubt creeps in. Am I forgiven? The problem I'm facing is unique to me. I'll try and sort that out myself before I bring it to God. Those all familiar lows can be a tough place to be and may span anything from a few moments to a few days to a few weeks or possibly a lifetime. Then there are the times somewhere between the highs and the lows, that kind of middle ground. We're plodding on, we're just getting by. Johnston Oatman wrote a hymn in 1897. The refrain, the chorus, is familiar. It goes, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." That's good advice. What better way to focus on God's provision and to realize that we and our rebellious, sinful nature have put the difference between us and God. God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah, a book of amazing prophecy, addresses the high points and the low points of God's chosen people. The Israelites have messed up time and time again, rebelled against God. They've created idols and they've been worshipping idols. Then there's times of forgiveness. There's high points of blessing, low points of rebellion, sin, and incurring God's wrath. The short passage we've read here in Isaiah 49 represents a peak, a time of blessing. And I'd like us just to concentrate, just for a few moments, on verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 49. Just to share with you, I've been blessed. You know, it's nervous standing up here. But, you know, I have been blessed looking at this. I really have. You know, it's challenging, but it's wonderful the way God really blesses when you're in that situation. But these are amazing verses. The first part of verse 15 reads, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" Can you imagine a more perfect example of love and nurture? A mother and a baby, just that wonderful bond of love, of care. Then we read on, "though she may forget." And then we start to think, oh, that perfect example of human love is sadly flawed for whatever reason. Then we read on in the same verse. I will not forget you. What an amazing promise. What assurance. Does that not fill your heart with joy? I will not forget you. Then to really bring it home to us, in verse 16, remember the Holy Spirit breathed these words for Isaiah to record further. And I believe this is God speaking to us right now, where we are right now with our relationship with Him. The first part of verse 16 reads, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Those beautiful, all-powerful hands that created everything. We were reminded this morning, Graham Kendrick's amazing worship song. Those hands that flung stars into space. Have your name and my name engraved on them. Some commentators, people who have preached on this, have used the word tattooed. That's good. That's fine. In some, you will see the word written or inscribed. I have to say, for me, there's a sense of a little bit of a lack of permanence. You know, a tattoo, perhaps, over the years can fade a little. I love the word here in the NIV. It says, engraved. That is permanent. To engrave involves the use of a hammer and a metal tool or spike. Our name is engraved on God's hands permanently when Christ was crucified, as those nails were brutally driven in to pay the price for our sin, for us to receive God's mercy, for us to receive God's grace. It demanded a huge cost. What's our response? John 20, verses 26 to 29, records the response of Thomas. You remember how he's recorded as doubting Thomas, which is it's quite harsh, really. But this is the response of Thomas. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. You know, we can use our hands and our hearts in so many ways to serve the Lord, to pass on the grace we've received, to show others the love of Jesus. We can use our hands to worship. To pray. As we ask the Holy Spirit to bless us, we can hold out our hands like this to receive. When we're getting it tough, just hold on. In the knowledge that if we love the Lord, even if we feel we can't do that, He'll not let us go. I just want to finish with John 10, verse 28 and 29. It's an amazing. This gives real assurance, this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Going to sing again in a few moments. And after we sing, the music will continue on a little bit. And some of the prayer ministry team will group together here and there in the church building here. And there will be an opportunity for prayer ministry. And just to explain to you just a little about what that might be. You may feel that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and there's something there that you want to deal with. It could be something that you're excited about. It doesn't have to be that there's something wrong. So it can be something good. Or it could be something you're struggling with, or something you've been challenged about. The prayer ministry team have all received some training in discernment and prayer ministry, and really, you're not coming up to pray with individuals. All we're going to do is stand in the gap to serve, to listen to the Spirit. So I would encourage you, it's not something to be frightened of. It's a time of blessing. I've received some wonderful things from the Lord in situations of prayer ministry. Just to encourage you. Be assured, it's confidential. Okay? And even if you find yourself in a situation that you feel you can't come forward, call one of us aside gently later on. Call Neil during the week. Whatever. Don't let the moment go. Because it's wonderful when the Spirit prompts and we have to act on it to receive that blessing. So I'd just like to encourage you in that. And the team have been praying and preparing for this for a little while. And we have read out some words, pictures, and verses which the Lord has laid on people's hearts in the team. So I'm just going to share them with you now. And if you find one of these resonates with you, this could well be an opportunity to come forward and receive some prayer ministry. So the first one, a message from God. It is time to join the family, pull up a chair, and sit at the table. There is plenty of room. You are not just a guest at my table, but part of my family. If you feel God talking to you, then I urge you to accept the invitation. And this could be for more than one person. The next one. While looking at a rainbow, the words, "All my promises are true," and a verse that stands out can be found in Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. The next one. The power of God is strong. Acts 3, verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him complete healing. Get a thought that someone is feeling low in their faith. Maybe that's you this evening. The next one is simply the word iron. A sense of protection. Matthew 2, verse 13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape." And finally, a Gladstone bag. I was told to maybe describe that bag. It's big, you know, like an old doctor's bag that opens at the top. Out of the bag is pulled a carpenter's plane, you know, an old-fashioned block plane. The person who has pulled that out of the bag is surprised to find that in the bag. It was unexpected. They may seem random. They may seem perhaps a little odd. But we believe the Lord has laid that on folks' hearts. So we're just being obedient to him, sharing those with you. And if they resonate with you, you'd be very welcome to come up and pray with some of the team. We're going to sing, as I said, now shortly. And then the music is going to quietly fade. There'll be a short period of quiet. And then some music will be played over the speaker. The team will just sort of take their little areas. And we'll just wait. We'll just wait before the Lord. It'll be an opportunity to pray quietly where you are now. On the screen, there'll be some items to help you through in terms of interceding for others. Some stuff about church life and bits and pieces. So you could engage with that or quietly just do business with the Lord where you're sitting right now, or come forward for prayer ministry. And remember, the kettle's on, okay? So, and that's an opportunity just to talk through where you are right now. So we're just going to finish where we are right now, and we're going to sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Could I ask you just to sing this as I believe the writer intended, that this is a prayer, that this is a special worship piece of prayer. I think it's appropriate that we sit quietly. This one is not about, you know, singing as a performance. This is about praying to Almighty God. So let's sing that now. And as I said, at the end, the music will gently fade. And then it'll be an opportunity for prayer.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly. Your glory. glory, God, is what our hearts love for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be